Surah Al-Kahf. Now we find that there's a very important hadith about Surah Al-Kahf. The Prophet ﷺ once said, whoever memorizes the first 10 verses and the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will be protected from Dajjal. On another occasion he said, whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, it will be a means of light for him till the next Friday. So we should make a habit of doing this. Now who is this Dajjal that is being spoken of? We find that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach the companions this dua in the same way that he would teach them a surah of the Quran. What was this dua? O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the torment of hell, and I seek refuge in you from the torment of the grave, and I seek refuge in you from the trial of Dajjal, and I seek refuge in you from the trial of life and death. Who is Dajjal? Dajjal comes from the root word Dajjala, which means to lie, to cheat, to deceive. So literally, Al-Masih al-Dajjal means the false Messiah, the Antichrist. Now today we'll be doing one aspect of Dajjal as we find in this surah. And this is Dajjal as a worldwide phenomenon. In other words, the creed of Dajjal. See, there's Dajjal the individual. But before Dajjal the individual appears, a system is being set up. The stage is being set for him to appear. And the cult of Dajjal is being spread throughout the world. What is this cult? We find, according to Muhammad Asad, this is the cult of materialism. From a hadith we learn about Dajjal's powers. He can hear with his ears what is spoken in the farthest corners of the earth. He can see with his one eye things that are happening in infinite distances. He can fly around the earth in days. He can make treasures of gold and silver suddenly appear from underground. He can cause rain to fall. He can cause plants to grow at his command. He can kill and bring back to life again, so that all whose faith is weak will start believing him to be God himself. But those whose faith is strong will read what is written on his forehead, denier of God. According to him, this is a fitting description of modern technical civilization, materialism. It is one-eyed, that is, it looks upon only one side of life, material progress, and is unaware of its spiritual side. With the help of its mechanical marvels, it enables man to see and hear far beyond his natural ability, to cover endless distances at an inconceivable speed. Its scientific knowledge causes rain to fall and plants to grow, and uncovers unsuspected treasures from beneath the ground. Its medicine brings life to those who seem to have been doomed to death, while its wars and scientific horrors destroy life. And its material advancement is so powerful and so glittering that the weak in faith are coming to believe that it is a god in its own right. He goes on to say, Western man has truly given himself up to worship of the Dajjal. Life has become a puzzle to him. Because he has lost all orientation, he must constantly invent for himself mechanical allies. Every day he invents new machines and gives each of them something of his soul to make them fight for his existence. And at the same time, they create for him new needs, new dangers, new fears. And the machine loses its true purpose to be a protector of human life and becomes a deity in its own right. Yet in the arrogance of their blindness, the people of the West are convinced that it is their civilization that will bring light to the world. And they have begun to spread the materialistic gospel of the Western way of life, the belief that all human problems can be solved in factories, laboratories, and on the desk of scientists. And thus the Dajjal has come into his own. This is the creed of Dajjal that we Muslims have started to believe in as well, that science is everything, technology is everything. We find that the early Muslims too made great advancements in science, but they did not forget La ilaha illallah. That knowledge brought them closer to Allah instead of taking them away from Allah. So let's read this surah now, and the theme of this surah is materialism, worshipping that which we can see rather than Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. It starts with all praises are for Allah. That is the true reality. That is the ultimate reality. Not modern man should be praised for his technological advancements. Not the scientists should be exalted. Alhamdulillah. All praises are for Allah, who has sent down to his slave the book and has not placed therein any crookedness. Straight to give warning of a severe punishment from him and to give glad tidings to the believers who do good deeds. أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا. That they shall have a fair reward. مَا كِسِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا. They shall live therein forever. and to warn those who say, Allah has begotten a son. No knowledge have they of such a thing, nor had their fathers. Mighty is the word that comes out of their mouths. They utter nothing but a lie. Perhaps you would kill yourself in grief over their footsteps, because they believe not in this narration. And this refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's intense concern for the rest of mankind and his intense grief for those people who were not accepting his message. Inna ja'alna ma 'alal ardi zinatan laha. Indeed, we have made all that is on this earth, whether of children, whether of wealth, whether of homes, of gardens, all that is on this earth, zinatan laha, as an adornment, as a trapping. Linabluwahum, so we can test them. Ayyuhum ahsanu amala. Which of them is best indeed? Now Allah doesn't say which of them attains the minimum level, reads the five prayers, reads Quran once in a while. No, Allah talks about the best. See, what are we immersed in nowadays? Look at this, zinat allaha. That's what we're obsessed with. A constant rat race for more and more and more. The latest shoes, the latest bag, the latest fashion, the latest movies, the latest song. On and on and on. And we have no time for Allah's book. What is Allah telling us? Is this why we've been created? لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ. We're being tested. It's an examination that we're going through right now. أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Which of you is best indeed? We're not even worried about attaining the minimum pass mark. And Allah's talking about أَحْسَن. In every action, perfect in thinking, in speech, in hearing, in deeds, in fulfilling the rights of Allah and of human beings. Why should we focus on the hereafter? Although the dunya has not been condemned. But Allah is saying, don't forget the hereafter in your mad quest for the dunya. Because Allah tells us, we shall make all that is on the earth a bare, dry soil. Everything will be finished. These houses that we worship, this jewelry that we adore, everything will perish. Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription were a wonder among our signs? Remember when the young men fled for refuge to the cave. فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمًا. They said, O our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself and facilitate for us our affair in the right way. Now why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start by mentioning the story of these young men of the cave? See, we find that in Islam, Allah really values the ibadat of youth. Because in youth, we have so many more distractions. When we're old, there's nothing else to do, just sit and read the Quran. But when we're young, there's so many other distractions, so many other temptations, so many other alluring pursuits. We find in the hadith about the seven kinds of people who are in Allah's shade. One will be a youth or a young person who spent his youth in Allah's worship. Ibadah of youth is valued by Allah. And what do people say? You're too young for hijab. Why are you doing hijab, beta? Don't do it now. You've got the rest of your life before you. What are these young men doing? They said, O our Lord, bestow on us mercy from yourself. This is renouncing materialism, shunning everything else that people are following. No, we're praying to Allah. We want Allah's mercy. We don't want people's mercy. And facilitate for us our affair in the right way. Therefore, we covered up their sense of hearing, causing them to go in deep sleep in the cave for a number of years. Their test was so beautiful. What did they do? They left the world for Allah's sake. Not that Allah's saying, go and live in the cave, all of you. But when they saw that their iman was being threatened, they gave their iman preference over their dunya. So then Allah rewarded them for this. And they went off into a deep sleep. And we raised them up from their sleep that we might test which of the two parties was best at calculating the time period that they had tarried. We narrate unto you their story with truth. Truly they were young men who believed in their Lord. We also claim iman. But do we act upon that iman? وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَىٰ. And we increased them in guidance. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We made their hearts firm when they stood up and said, our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Never shall we call upon any God other than Him. If we did, we should indeed have uttered an enormity in disbelief. Look at the words of the ayat. Allah is saying, take a step for my sake and I will come running towards you. Allah made their hearts strong. We need to have the courage for that first step, for that first stand we take, for Allah's sake. And then Allah will make our hearts strong. These people have taken for worship gods other than him. Why do they not bring for them a clear authority? And who does more wrong than he who invents a lie against Allah? What gods does our society worship? Money, status, sophistication. The more secular knowledge you have, the more you'll be respected. Allah is saying that these people have the courage to reject the false idols of that society. And the young men said to one another, and when you withdraw from them and that which they worship, accept Allah. Then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will open a way for you from His mercy and will make easy for you your affair. See their calm confidence. Compare it to our doubts. If I do this, my friends won't meet me anymore. What if she laughs at me? What if she says something to me? No, I don't have this courage for this as yet. Look at their strength and fearlessness. And you might have seen the sun when it rose, declining to the right from their cave, and when it set, turning away from them to the left, while they lay in the midst of the cave. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. This is one of the signs of Allah. Why does Allah mention the sun over here? That when we set out in Allah's path, even Allah's creation serves us. No renunciation here. Allah's creation was serving them. He whom Allah guides, He is the rightly guided. But he whom Allah sends astray, for him you will find no guiding friend to lead him to the right path. And you would have thought them awake, whereas they were asleep. And we turned them on their right and on their left sides, and their dog stretching forth his two forelegs at the entrance. Look at Allah's tenderness for these men, who gave up everything for love of His sake. Had you looked at them, you would certainly have turned back from them in flight, and would certainly have been filled with awe from them. Allah is protecting His loved ones. Likewise, we awakened them from their long deep sleep that they might question one another. Now many hundreds of years passed by, we don't know how many. A speaker from among them said, how long have you stayed here? Now they're confused, they don't know how long they've been sleeping. They said, we have stayed perhaps a day or part of a day. They said, your Lord alone knows best how long you have stayed here. Look at the iman, everything is linked to Allah. So send one of you with this silver coin of yours to the town and let him find out which is the good lawful food and bring some of that to you. And let him be careful and let no man know of you. Now they're not just blindly trusting in Allah, they're doing what they can for themselves. They're not saying, well, maybe the angels will bring us food. They're getting food for themselves. As the Prophet ﷺ told the man who had left his camel loose, tie your camel and then trust in Allah. For if they come to know you, they will stone you or turn you back to their religion, and in that case you will never be successful. And thus we made their case known that they might know that the promise of Allah is true and that there can be no doubt about the hour. Now we find that what happened was, although it's not mentioned in the Quran, that when they go out, and when obviously that young man wearing clothes of several hundred years ago, and he produces the currency which belonged to 200-300 years ago, the people are astounded. Now, what was the lesson from this young man's story? For the people at that time, it proved the truth of resurrection. That if Allah can put people to sleep for so many hundreds of years, and then they can wake up, then Allah can resurrect the dead as well. Because in those days, there were many disputes rampant about whether resurrection would take place or not. So Allah showed them a sign in the shape of these people. Now what happened was, they followed him back to the cave, and then he and his companions died a natural death. That was their life. And see how Allah honored their life. See how Allah honored their sacrifice that He mentioned the story in the surah. Remember when the people of the city disputed among themselves about their case. They said, construct a building over them, their Lord knows best about them. Then those who won their point said, we shall indeed build a place of worship over them. Some say they were three, the dog being the fourth among them. And others say they were five, the dog being the sixth, guessing at the unseen. Yet others say that they were seven, and the dog being the eighth. Tell them, my Lord knows best their number, none knows them but a few. So debate not except with the clear proof, and consult not any of them about the affair of the people of the cave. Now what is Allah telling us here? That the people did not focus on the message of the story. What was the message of the story? Firstly, it proved the truth of resurrection. Secondly, it proved that if you make any sacrifice in Allah's way, Allah will reward you for that. Allah will honor you for that. What did they do? They focused on irrelevant details. Well, how long did they stay there and how many people were there? Now sometimes Allah gives us signs, shows us sights, whereby our iman should be strengthened and we too focus on irrelevancies. So Allah says that they did not derive the right lesson from the story. لَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. as we read today, do not follow that of which you have no knowledge. Focus on the main point of the story. Don't go off into minor details. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدَى إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Say of nothing, I shall do such and such thing tomorrow, except with the saying, if Allah wills. See, this is the core of materialism, that I can do everything myself. That I have created this and I have created that. And you know, modern man has come to his supreme peak. And we've come a long way from the time that our ancestors were just monkeys. And now we've evolved fully and we are these supreme beings. This is the negation of materialism. Say, of nothing I shall do this tomorrow, except as my Lord wills. Recognizing that the power to do anything comes from Allah and Allah alone. And remember your Lord when you forget. And say, it may be that my Lord guides me unto a nearer way of truth than this. What is Allah telling us? That when we wish to do something, say inshallah. When do we say inshallah? When we're not going to do something. Yes, inshallah, I'll definitely come and visit you someday. We need to analyze our actions. We need to analyze our speech. And people say they stayed in their cave 300 years, adding 9. قُلِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا لَبِثُوا. That's not the point. Tell them, Allah knows best how long they stayed. With Him is the unseen of the heavens and the earth. How clearly He sees and hears everything. They have no protector other than Him. And He makes none share in His decision and in His rule. وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. This is our focus. This should be our priority. Recite what has been revealed to you of the book of your Lord. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. None can change His words, and none you will find as a refuge other than Him. In other words, as Allah tells us elsewhere in the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Compete with one another in good deeds. Don't waste your precious life in irrelevant disputes and irrelevant arguments. Don't squander this treasure Allah has given you. Focus on Allah and His ibadah. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهًا. How do we focus on Allah? People say it's so difficult. Allah says, be wise in your choice of friends. Your friends alone will help you to focus. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." A man is on the religion of his friend. You want to know what you really like, how strong your iman is? Just look at your friend and you'll know. Because our friends are those people whom we identify with. Allah is telling us, keep yourself with those who call on their Lord morning and afternoon, seeking His being. People who shun materialism. Let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and the glitter of the life of this world. Don't be dazzled by superficial sophistication. Go for iman. That should be our criterion in seeking a friend. Do not obey him whose heart we have made forgetful of our remembrance. Now there's no talk of Muslims or non-Muslims here. It's simply one who remembers Allah and one who has forgotten Allah. And who follows his own lusts, his own desires, and whose deeds are excessive. There's no stability in them. They'll do whatever they feel like doing. As the mood takes them, they'll pray. If their mood doesn't take them, they won't pray. They'll go visit someone else instead. Allah is warning us here, be wise in your choice of friends. They can influence our outcome in the hereafter. وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And tell them, the truth is from your Lord. The truth has come now. The choice is ours. Then whosoever wills, let him believe. And whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We are the beggars before Allah. Allah doesn't need us. Indeed, we have prepared for the wrongdoers a fire whose walls will be surrounding them. And if they ask for water, they will be granted water like boiling oil that will scald their faces. And in another place we find Muhal is described as the blood flowing from a corpse's body. That's how sick it is. Terrible is the drink and an evil resting place. Indeed, as for those who believed and did good deeds, certainly we shall not waste the reward of anyone who does his deeds in the most perfect manner. If you look at the people of the cave, they made that one sacrifice and then Allah did not take any further test from them. He put them to sleep, their sleep was made into a lesson. One action they did and see how Allah valued it, see how Allah honored them. These, for them will be paradise, wherein rivers flow underneath them. Therein they will be adorned with bracelets of gold, and they will wear green garments of fine and thick silk. They will recline therein on raised thrones. How excellent is the reward, and what a beautiful resting place. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ. Now Allah gives us another story. Put forward to them the example of two men. To one of them we had given two gardens of grapes, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them green crops. Now imagine this beautiful garden, and in this world we see people who are sinning, people who are disobeying Allah, and they have been given so much luxury, so much beauty, and you wonder to yourself, why? So this story relates what happens. Each of those two gardens brought forth its produce, and failed not in the least therein, and we caused a river to gush forth in the midst of them. And he had property, and he said to his companion, in the course of mutual talk, I am more than you in wealth, and stronger in respect of men. And he went into his garden while in a state of disbelief, unjust to himself. He said, I do not think that this will ever perish, and I do not think the hour will ever come. And if indeed I am brought back to my Lord, I shall surely find better than this when I return to him. This is the danger of materialism, that we start relying upon the world instead of on Allah. We start thinking this wealth is forever, this property is forever. I've made it and now I'm a winner and I'll always be a winner. And even if the day of judgment comes, even then Allah will reward me. His companion said to him during the talk with him, do you disbelieve in him who created you out of dust and then out of a drop, then fashioned you into a man? He tries to remind him of his origin, but it is to no avail. And the man goes on to say, but as for my part, Hu Allahu Rabbi, I believe that he is Allah my Lord, and none shall I associate as partner with my Lord. This is a moment. He's not intimidated or impressed by the other's wealth and say, well, you're right about that. Maybe I should also believe the things you believe in. No, he says, as for me, I believe that it is Allah, my Lord, and none shall I associate as partner with my Lord. It was better for you to say when you entered your garden, Masha Allah, that which Allah wills. La quwwata illa billah. There is no strength except by Allah. And if you see me less than you in wealth and children, it may be that my Lord will give me something better than your garden, and will send on it a torment from the sky. Then it will be a slippery earth, or the water thereof becomes deep sunken, so that you will never be able to seek it. This is the vision of a mu'min who believes in Allah, who does not start relying upon his worldly props or his worldly wealth, and who believes that as long as he does not do shirk with Allah, Allah will give him better in the hereafter. So the man's fruits were encircled with ruin. What happens? A storm comes and his garden is destroyed. And he remained wringing his hands over what he had spent upon it while it was all destroyed on its trellises. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And saying, alas, would that I had not done any shirk with my Lord. What was his shirk? He wasn't worshipping any idol. He was worshipping his wealth. He had fallen prey to the cult of materialism, that because my wealth is so much, that means that I'm doing something right, and Allah can't do anything to me. And he had no group of men to help him against Allah, nor could he defend himself. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ. Their power will be for Allah alone. That is the truth of the matter, which we don't realize. Power belongs to Allah alone. Malik al-mulki, tu'til mulka man tasha, tanzi'u al-mulka mimman tasha. O Allah, owner of the kingdom, you bestow power on whom you will, and you take away power from whom you will. And we see fortunes rise and fortunes fall, and people prosper and people destroyed. Who is the source of all this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the true God. He is the best for reward and the best for the final end. And put forward to them the example of the life of this world. It is like the water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingles with it and becomes fresh and green, but later it becomes dry and broken pieces which the winds scatter. That's our reality. Birth, infancy, childhood, adolescence, youth, maturity, and then what? Old age, senility, and ultimately death. And some die when they are born, and some die when they are children, and some die in their youth. But all ultimately die. Kullu man alayha fan. And Allah is able to do all things. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayatid dunya. This wealth and children are the adornment of the life of this world. Why are wealth and children mentioned here? Our two greatest props. Oh, my wealth and my children and my son and my daughter, they'll take care of me. wealth and children are the adornments of this world. My children don't leave me time to pray. My children don't give me time to come and read the Quran. I'll wait for them to grow up. Or my job doesn't leave me enough time to study the Quran. After a few years, maybe I'll have time. Allah says, wealth and children are the adornments of this world. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ صَوَابًا. The good deeds that endure, our children will die and our wealth will finish and we will die. What will endure? The good deeds that last. Are better with your Lord for rewards and better in respect of hope. And remember the day when we shall cause the mountains to pass away, and you will see the earth as a leveled plain, and we shall gather them all together, so as to leave not one of them behind. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفَّا. They will be set before your Lord in lines as rows. Let's imagine ourselves. And Allah will say, now indeed you have come to us, as we created you the first time. No, but you thought that we had appointed no meeting for you. Sometimes we might not be saying that a lot, but our actions are showing we're not worried about the hereafter. We're trusting in La ilaha illallah, that will save us. So I'm not praying and I'm not reading the Quran and I'm not doing anything for Allah, but hey, Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. You thought that we had appointed no meeting for you, and the book will be placed and you will see the criminals, not the non-Muslims, the criminals. Fearful of that which is recorded therein, they will say, woe to us! What sort of book is this that leaves neither a small thing nor a big thing but has recorded it? And they will find all that they did placed before them. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord treats none with injustice. Now imagine some sins that we've committed that we haven't told anyone about, but Allah knows about them. How would we feel if someone were to suddenly start playing a video and say, well, you thought you were alone at that time, but we were taking a video of you. And imagine on that day, a video of our entire life being shown, not just before our parents or our loved ones or people who would be sympathetic to us, before the whole of creation. And above all, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about all the sick things we've done, all the actions, all the crimes, all the words which we said, which we feel ashamed just thinking about. Would we be able to bear having them spoken aloud in front of everyone? Your Lord treats none with injustice.